Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then, Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now, Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi everybody and welcome back to the Gallagher Shots YouTube channel and podcast. These match previews are coming in thick and fast as Newcastle United head back to St James's Park under the lights on Tuesday night to host our friends and sweeties from Merseyside, Everton. We're coming off the back of what can only be described as an absolutely batshit game against West Ham on Saturday lunchtime. It's still taking me a little bit of time to sink everything in, so I'm hoping the two lads who are with me for this one are suitably over what happened on Saturday. I've got Andy here with me and Ian. How are you doing, lads?
Not bad. I haven't calmed down. Answer your question. It's only a day later.
Well, Ian, how are you doing, mate?
Yeah, I'm good. It's for, at the time of recording, it's Easter, so I'm just full of chocolate and I was going to say pizza, but pizza's not an Easter-y thing, is it? It's just because it's having a lads' night in with Joey. So, but yeah, other than that, really good. Obviously, yesterday's result was unforeseeable at one point. But it's always good to not have the early kickoff ruin your entire weekend, especially with it being a long weekend.
Absolutely. I mean, there's a great little shot doing the rounds on socials of the match predictor computer predictions. With the win percentages going around after 63 minutes, which had us as a 2% probability of winning that game. So stick that with your computer, whoever it was that was in control of it, and see how that one fits. So, as we said, this is going to be a preview of the Everton game. We're going to face them at 7:30 on Tuesday night. That's live on TNT Sports, as are, I think, all of the games in this midweek session this week. And we go into this game looking for our fourth successive home win against Everton. We're going to talk a little bit about recent games in just a moment. But before we delve into it, here is a quick word from our sponsor.
The Gallagher Shots match preview is brought to you by Magpin. Magpin are the go-to site for high-quality, unofficial enamel pin badges of Newcastle United players, legends and retro kits. For more information, visit their website at magpinbadges.bigcartel.com.
Thank you very much, Scott, and we'll have him back with us very soon because he was over for the game on Saturday, and by Christ, what a game he chose to come over for and see. Dear me. Anyway, we're going to get over that game now, and we'll dive straight into this one for Everton. And Ian, you've been looking at the last couple of games that we played. This is taking over from me. I've handed the reins to you for this one because this is normally one of the bits I do, but crack on, mate.
Oh, wow. That's pressure. I only got told I was doing the last season's fixture at us literally before coming on. So me My preparation wouldn't have
that's
been.
That's how we operate. We slick out.
we'll guide you through it if you struggle.
But we'll go chronologically. We'll go for last season against Everton at home. Again, I think it was a midweek nighttime game, if I remember
it
rightly.
It was, yeah.
I don't remember much about it other than Miguel Almirón's fantastic finish, and that was in that spell that he had where he was scoring for fun. And it was one of those, even if a keeper with normal-sized arms had been in that.
I was waiting for the comment.
It wasn't going to take long, was it?
I think it was the season before, I think it was 3-1 with one. I think it was Kiyu and Trippier, possibly his first goal for Mebbies. I don't know. He definitely scored. But last time out, not so fortuitous. It was at that start, near the start, or the actual start of that congested December period, where I think we played the same team in like four games in a row. We had a couple of mishaps from Kieran Trippier. It was one of his, or probably his poorest games, riddled with mistakes. And we ended up suffering a 3-0 defeat. But I was looking back on the highlights before I came on, and because I know sometimes when you look back and you go, 3-0, were we that bad? And yes, we were, unfortunately. I think Everton just absolutely hammered were. But if I remember rightly, I think that might have been the first game or one of the first games at home after they had that points deduction. So Goodison I don't like Everton fans, no disrespect to yous watching, but they make that place hostile. It's very, very close. I think that had a lot to do with it, but they had a point to prove as well, and they proved it. They were just a much better side on the night. Goals, I think, from, I want to say, Dwight McNeil. He was the one that capitalised on Trippier's first. Mm-hmm. Then I want to say it was Doucouré who capitalised on Trippier's second, and then Beto, who just scored at the weekend as well, rounded off. I think it was 0-0 at maybe 79 minutes, and they scored the three goals in the last 10 minutes. But like I say, that watching the highlights, they could have had a sack full of goals. So, but that being said, looking at their recent form, it isn't great. And I'm assuming one of yous is touching on their recent form, which is a nice little segue to you guys.
Yeah. Beautifully done.
I mean, it's interesting, you know, you talk about that game back at Goodison, and you're absolutely right that the timing of that game couldn't have been any worse for us, because they really were backs to the wall, us against the world sort of thing, having had that points deduction. And do you know what it is? Their form after getting that deduction really picked up. It really galvanised them as a club between supporters and players. And they really went on a really good run. And, you know, Andy will mention this very shortly when he talks about Everton, but that's pretty much salvaged their season. They looked like a team that were expecting a points deduction, so they were getting results. And then they now face another points deduction as well. So it'll be, you know, they haven't quite had it yet, but you know, I don't want to step on Andy's toes too much, but recent form will show. And also, just to mention on what you were saying there, in between those two games that we've talked about with Everton, there was an away game at Everton after that home game last season, and it was the 4-1
yes,
win. And we all remember that 4-1 win because of what happened with Alex Isak and the assist of the century that wasn't an assist. And we just absolutely steamrolled them down there, and it's such a great game to be at. And another one that I want to mention, you know, you talked there, Ian, about it being televised. It's actually this game on Tuesday is going to be the fourth game against Everton in a row that's going to be televised. And you're right as well, where you say they've all been in midweek as well. There's been a lot of midweek meetings with Everton, which is always a pain in the backside for those of us travelling down to Goodison to have to make that trip midweek. And obviously, I suppose the same for those fans coming up here midweek as well from Merseyside the opposite way. But yeah, so we'll move on to Everton and their form. Andy, what can you tell us?
I can tell you that they're rubbish. End of segment. well, you mentioned our game there, Ian. After that, they beat Burnley, and then they haven't won in the Premier League since. So the last win in the Premier League was 16th of December 23, and they actually won four games in a row leading up to that Burnley game. So they had that big galvanised period, and then since then they've just absolutely gone off a cliff. So 12 games without a win in the Premier League, the only win they've had was in the Cup, which then immediately got knocked out by Luton by, so it was pointless anyway. They've played pretty much the same team for the entire season, which I'll just rattle through, but it is like 11 of the most Brexit players you can think of. It's like so boring. So it's Pickford, Coleman, Tarkowski, Branthwaite, Godfrey / Mikalenko, just if he wants to be slightly exciting. Harrison, Onana, Garner, McNeil, Doucouré, Calvert-Lewin / Beto, or Beto. So it's like, it's the same team every week. And I was reading a few things from Everton fans and they were just saying, we're rubbish and we're just never changing anything. And it just reminded me so much of reading comments when we had terrible managers. Although I guess you could say we don't change anything at the moment because we literally can't. But with Everton, it's like, it just feels like they're just constantly just beating a dead horse with the same team and they're just absolutely useless. Doucouré is top scorer for them. He's only got 6 goals. They've only scored 30 goals the whole season, which is the second worst in the league. And considering the team who's below them in that stat is Sheffield United, who are probably the worst team I've ever seen in the Premier League. It's pretty shambolic, really. There was a headline on The Athletic which said, Everton have become joyless, a Ford Focus in a Premier League full of Ferraris, which I quite like that comment. Just to kind of... But I think the annoying thing from Everton fans' point of view will be that they all knew what they were getting with Dyche, but he's not getting the results, whereas obviously when he was Burnley manager and even those early days as Everton manager, he was getting those rubbish 1-0 wins, which is all you need. And I think it's just the way they've regressed from having like Ancelotti at one point to now being in the doldrums with Dyche. It's just bizarre. So my last thing on Everton that I'm just going to mention is a comment on one of the most recent Athletic articles. There was a comment left by an Everton fan. I'm going to read it in its entirety because it's absolutely amazing. So he's not very happy.
Are you going to
Scouse accent? I could, but I won't. just in case. He might not even be Scouse either. It's a comment. He could be from America, as far as I'm concerned. So he said, Dyche is a slowly unfolding disaster. To call him a one-trick pony would be an insult to ponies who can at least walk and breathe at the same time. All those fans who gave him a free pass because of the points deduction, even though week in week he serves up the same turgid crap, he's definitely English, with the same result. Fullbacks who don't offer anything, attacking strategies that consist of launching 70-yard free kicks and hoping someone will get on the end of a Tarkowski knockdown, winning corners. This is Sunday League tactics. And then he goes on and on about the board. Then he starts slating Ashley Young. He then says, I wish we could afford to sack the talentless meth. We're stuck with him and he knows it. We'll get relegated. Blah, blah, blah. He's the worst manager in the Premier League, unquestionably. So I think they're quite happy, Everton fans, at the moment. But like, I think that just pretty much sums it up, really. And on about... he goes on about Ashley Young in his comment as well. I was going to say I was reading it in the entirety, but I realised that it would go on and on forever. They brought Ashley Young on in the last game. So on the right-hand side, they had Seamus Coleman and Ashley Young, which is something like the oldest right-hand side in football in England.
Like 88 or something, isn't it?
Yeah, because I think Coleman's something like 36 and Ashley Young's 38 or something like that. Someone can Google it. But basically, if we lose this game, then how out?
You know what it is? They'll still probably beat Dan Burn for pace as well.
No, yeah. But on a serious note, like they've actually got some all right players. I actually really rate McNeil. I think Jack Harrison's a good player. I actually think Doucouré is a really tidy footballer. I think he's slightly out of position as a number 10. And we've seen Calvert-Lewin when he was properly coached under Ancelotti and things. He's a really good number 9. They're just playing the system at the minute that's from a foregone age and it doesn't work. And they need to start picking results up quickly because they are still at risk of relegation. It's all about Luton Forest at the moment. But Everton are still in there. And when you look at the teams in the league, I would rate Forest and Luton ahead of them in terms of how they play football. So on a serious note, they are in bother. And hopefully we can put them in more bother on Tuesday night. So, yes, in summary, they're rubbish and we should win.
You say we should win, but we're struggling ourselves, really, when we think about the personnel now available to us after the losing another half a dozen people to injury against West Ham on Saturday. I'm going to quickly go over some things about what I'm now going to call card watch. And we're going to talk about, specifically, we're going to talk about Bruno and Anthony Gordon.
Are you Bruno giving yourself now, spin-off on your own feature already?
pretty much. So Bruno is now three games away from the cut-off point, and so is Gordon, really. So they're three games away from the cut-off of 32 games played before those yellow cards are reset. and the ban won't be in effect. And like we've already commented before that we think Bruno's been doing immensely well to even not be getting yellow cards for the last, what, 6 or 7 weeks?
Yeah.
Because that's how long he's been.
Particularly against West Ham as well.
Yeah. Like, with
up against Paqueta. I noticed a couple of times, sorry to rain
on
Dazmo's card watch. But there was a few times where you feel if he wasn't on that sort of the precipice of getting that 2-game suspension, he would have took a tactical yellow, which I don't think teams have exploited it that well, because ultimately if you get past him, he's not going to bring you down, because then he's not going to want to risk that yellow card. But there was a couple of times against West Ham where I thought he's going to bring him down, but
Yeah. Oh, he was definitely dangling a leg backwards to try and get clipped and stuff. Yeah.
It's a great segue when you talk about tactical yellows, because that's what got Anthony Gordon his first yellow card in the game on Saturday. And we just want to clear up as well. I know it's been said around about the place on socials, but just to clear it up, because a lot of people are still not quite sure about what the 2 yellows equaling a red means for Gordon, who is currently on 8 yellow cards, and also will receive a ban for the red card that he got on Saturday. So Gordon will miss this game. But because he got the 2 yellows, which equated to the red, he still remains on the 8 yellows as far as that ban's concerned when he gets to 10 yellow cards. So in effect, the red card overturns the 2 yellows. So he's going to miss the game for getting the red card from the 2 yellows on Tuesday against Everton, which is a bit of a shame, because you'd like to see him stick one up Everton after the way they treated him towards the end of his time there. So he's going to come back at the weekend against Fulham and still be 2 yellow cards away from that 10 yellow card mark before the ban comes in. So, and again, by the time we play Spurs in a couple of weeks' time, get that game out of the way, and then we're clear, and then Bruno will start slicing people and God knows what, and causing all sorts of bother in the middle of the park again. And again, having just talked about that, we'll quickly move into injuries and suspensions as far as we're concerned. So, Tonali, Gordon, suspensions. Injury-wise, again, we had the same as we were.
Why don't you say who's not injured?
Do you know what it is? Because I've written it down, it's easier for us to say who is injured. And obviously, you know, Port Wilson, Joe Linton, Botman, Miley, long-term, now add to the list Lascelles, who, as of time of recording, this afternoon it was announced, now has the same problem as Sven Botman. And they're not going to let him rest. They're going to get him straight under the knife and get him operated on so he can come back, you know, fully fit again later this
in
year.
9 months as opposed to a year.
And then we're still not quite sure about the fate of Miguel Almiron, who went off quite soon after coming on Saturday.
He just knew that Barnes was going to win us the game, so he just went off.
Well,
he'd seen it.
The same can be said for Tino Livramento as well. He went off with an injury that's unspecified as to whether or not he makes the game. However, the silver lining to that is, as much as Trippier remains a doubt at the present, Eddie Howe may have given an indication that Trippier will be back on Tuesday night against Everton. We look forward to seeing what he has to say for his pre-match comments.
Well, they made out on the pre-match socials. They made out Trippier was in the squad because they put him on Twitter with his full training gear on.
He certainly was
his box.
Yeah, he certainly was there. I think he was spotted in upstairs in the corporate section at one point before the game. And very quickly, before we move on to talk about how we think the team will line up, which is going to be an interesting conversation in itself. There's a phone going off there. Sorry.
I thought that was part of Card Watch there. He's got sound effects and lasers.
That's next season.
Quickly, Everton's record at St James's Park, which in terms of ourselves makes for very good reading. We've got 28 games played in the Premier League, 16 wins for us, 4 draws and 8 defeats. And like we said at the very start, we're looking for our 4th win in a row in the latest run of games. So fingers crossed everything will go all right there. So we better start talking about how we think the team will line up. Goalkeeper Martin Dubravka looked to have a bit of a problem towards the end of that game on Saturday, but we can probably safely assume it would just be like cramp or something.
Just the end?
Well, I would say he's had a problem since he came back into the team, to be honest.
We'll not talk about the saves.
Head of the box.
In terms of his leg and his inability to kick having left that to Fabian Scheer towards the end of the game. But I think he'll probably be all right. Back four, I'm going to leave this to you. Crack on. Who do you think your back four is going to be?
I'll be centre-half. I think you'll probably play right back. No, wait. I was thinking if Trippier is back, because I thought the sort of line on the international break, just before the international break, is he was targeting West Ham. Mm-hmm. Obviously, with someone is sort of with Tino's quality, you don't want them want to rush Trippier back. So it made sense. So I have a slight inkling that he might be all right, which is great, because if not, as much as I loved him for Fulham and his little upturn when Howe came in, Emile Kraft was just all over the shop on Saturday.
Final ball was really poor, wasn't it?
Just even the way,
what we normally have on that side.
Even the way he runs, like, it's like he's got, like, he puts his head down and like his arms go really, really fast, but his legs are just like that. It's like running on a treadmill. It's bizarre. And you know what it is? As much as like that was a little dig at him, he was one of the players before his injury against Tranmere the other season, where his form really upturned. He was a solid, dependable player. But I think if Trippier's fit, then, or even 70%, I'd start him. Then you're going to have to look at Fabian Scheer, who I don't know if you've noticed with you being at the match. He took a little knock. He was holding his hamstring just before Miggy went off. And then you've got Byrne, who I thought, he didn't have a poor game, but there was times when he was getting caught on the turn, and I've seen milk turn quicker. But he did, in fairness, he was fairly solid in the air as well. And then I think Hall, who came on at left back, I thought he was really, really good. He gave a lot of energy. Getting forward as well, he gave, I think, a little bit more of a threat than what Dan Byrne does. So I think that is probably your back four. And then you look at the bench. If for example, Scheer, who, let's face it, loves getting a head injury 5 minutes into a game, mentioned about his hamstring there. If you lose him, you're putting Dummett centre-half. So it's not too far away from a championship side back four. But I'm hoping Trippier will be fit just to add that little bit of stability, ironically, against Everton, where he had his worst game as well.
Well, before we move on from the defence, if for some reason we see, rather than Lewis Hall playing, it's Dan Byrne at left back with Paul Dummett as the other centre back, then Hall is definitely like shagged house misses or something. Because there is no way he is not paid. Like, how can he not be playing now? He looked mint. Yeah. I know you mentioned it there.
He looked good, yeah.
He just looked like a proper, well-rounded fullback that can defend, go forward. I was a bit worried about him against Kudus and stuff, but he seemed to do fine. Yeah, just adding to that, because I'll be fuming if he's not playing.
I mean, I can't see how he hasn't played himself into the starting 11 after that cameo on Saturday, because, like you say, he was absolutely brilliant. And his ability to... I don't want to say it was down to luck, but he just seemed to have something about... He was able to read the game to a point where he would gamble on making an interception, and he would intercept the ball, and he would get in front of Kudus, and at times Bowen as well when they swapped over. And he was able to get in front of these players and intercept the ball going to them. And he dealt with them really well in a defensive capacity as well. And it made such a difference that he was getting forward. And you really did see the benefit of an attacking fullback on that side. And, you know, that's not a slight on Dan Byrne as such, because we do sometimes see him stretch his legs and start making 6 metre strides forward when he gets his momentum going. But his problem was then having to get back after he'd exerted everything, just getting forward to support. And Hall, because of his youthfulness and, you know, his build, he's able to get back quick. And he was able to recover.
Both of those Harvey Barnes goals as well, where Barnes wasn't on the left wing as such, was he? He was inside channel down the middle.
Yeah.
He probably can't do that if he's having to give the width on that side. Yeah. So having even Hall just being able to stand there, even if he doesn't do anything, it makes a massive difference. And we said this for the last preview, it'll help someone like Gordon as well, knowing that he can occupy a fullback and Gordon can come inside and he's not going to be triple teamed every time. So, fingers crossed we see him, definitely.
Just around that bit of I think I agree with you. I think if Trippier is fit, then he comes in to right back, and then obviously.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Cliche, Burn, and Hall at left back. If, for whatever reason, we don't have Shea, or if Shea were to pick up an injury, I think the only logical option for the balance side of things would be to put Kraft in there. But again, that depends on how Kraft is himself. So we'll move into midfield now. And Joe Willock on Saturday got subbed a little bit early. And to be honest, he didn't really look his usual self. He was trying to play his game, but he didn't seem to move as quick as we know he can move. Whether or not that's just because he's coming back from this injury or whatever. But again, we're down to such bare bones in the middle of the park now that it pretty much picks itself yet again. So, you know, Bruno, Willock to start at least, and then Longstaff again as well. I don't know how else we change it up.
Well,
how do we change it up?
Well, Anderson looked all right.
He looked lively.
Yeah, yeah.
And Longstaff on the other end of the spectrum looked abysmal. And he's not even running anymore.
I know why I forgot Anderson, but we'll get on to that. We'll get on to it. We'll talk about the field first.
That would be the one change I would want to make, I think, is I don't want to jump on the bandwagon to hate Longstaff, because I don't want to move off Burn and go on to Longstaff and him become just the new scapegoat for everything. But he has been so poor in this post-Christmas period. And obviously, we all knew he was a bit deficient technically, but he always had the energy and he was the water carrier for the midfield, whereas now he's not even really doing that. You look at the goal that Bowen scored against West Ham. There's just no midfielders anywhere. And he's that person that you want to be making that lung-busting run. And instead, it's Gordon running from their six-yard box and nearly getting back. So I think if we're not going to have Longstaff's running, you may as well play Anderson, who's a bit better in tighter areas. He can beat someone on the turn. He can dribble the ball. He can make long passes and things like that. So, but other than that, I agree. It picks itself because there's no one else is there. But that would be it for me.
I think the reason I forgot Anderson was because I have a feeling he might have to be utilised in the front three. Because we can safely assume that Almiron isn't going to be fit. Or we hope he can be. But Murphy, again, he was struggling for most parts in that game. In the first half especially, the only thing he really did was put in a couple of good balls because he wasn't really running around like he would normally do. He was tucking in quite a lot as well. And I think he looked a little bit more like productive when he ended up at right back after Kraft went off, but
which could be as well another option.
Yeah,
if Trippier's not fit, because
absolutely.
But I agree with you. I thought he looked a little bit lost in what he's like you say in terms of his runs and things like that. But I thought his final product in terms of his delivery. I thought we had a good couple of chances. I think he put a ball in for Gordon who headed wide, and then. There was that one he put up. It was a great ball over. I can't remember, maybe Mavropanos who cleared it away. And if he didn't, Isak's there to tap it in. So that could be another option. But I agree with you. I think it was a hit and missy game with Murphy.
Yeah. So the right side is a question. And we know Elliot Anderson does like to play on the other side. However, somebody else played on Saturday who's certainly played his way into a starting position, especially with the absence of Gordon now on that side. And that is our good friend Harvey Barnes, because he played and scored a couple of tremendous goals. He really was an outlet when he came on as well. He was a bit of a focal point for attacks down that side of the pitch. He linked with Gordon really well, linked with Hall really well. And there was some nice little passes between him and Bruno as well on the edge of the box. And you know, I think even if Gordon was fit or well, not fit, but if Gordon was available, I should say, then the argument you would have would be to put Gordon on the right and play Barnes on the left, because his movements...
I think that's how it should be. If it's a fully fit squad next season, and I've spoken to mates about this as well, Gordon on the right, Barnes on the left, Isak in the middle is absolutely mint.
Yeah.
Like, not to jump in, but just to, I think there's a lot of fans would say that now, especially if you get Joe Linton back playing on the as the left side in midfielder and Hall on the left, that left three, like doing triangles. But obviously, everyone's injured, so it's all a fantasy at the moment. But yeah.
So we'll get Matt Ritchie instead.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, we'll probably see him on Tuesday night, to be fair.
Recall surprises.
Well, that's it. And yeah, as you just said, Isak up front is like literally the only option. So that's what's going to happen there. And again, I'd like to maybe think he can add to his penalties on Saturday with maybe. I'd like to just see him get a one from open play. I think that's just what he needs at the minute. And he can have all the confidence from a penalty, but.
Sorry, did you see that thing that there was all the media stuff with Tindall and Howe doing, like, it was like Guess the Footballer or something like that? I don't know if you've
seen
it.
I haven't seen it, no.
And at one point, Jason Tindall takes a pen and it's exactly the same as the two penalties Isak's taken.
No way.
So I'm wondering if that's the coaching. He steps up and just puts it bottom corner. It's unreal. I just thought, I wonder if this is Tindall sort of channeling Isak there.
In terms of who we might see on the bench, you've already mentioned Matt Ritchie there. Paul Dummett was on the bench on Saturday as well. And I'm trying to think of who else might be there. Murphy's probably going to be there if he's not playing.
Adam Pay's on the bench.
We'll probably have to like bring Bobby Clark in from on loan from Liverpool again just to
get him
on the bench. And I think Mark said he was going to take his boots on Tuesday just in case he was needed. So that tells you how bad things are getting. I think there'll be a few other people taking their boots with him as well, to be honest. There'll be no shortage of takers for Eddie Howe if he needs to.
I reckon that ball boy who didn't give Cudders is still getting him on, to be fair. He's got passion. Yeah.
Right, so that's why, well, how you predict the starting 11, I don't know, but that we sort of tried to do it anyway.
It's kind of just picking 11 fit players at this point and trying to make a team out of them.
Yeah, that's it.
It's like on Football Manager when you just press auto select when you can't be bothered and it just everyone just goes everywhere and you're like, aye, that'll do. Ask the assistant manager.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, it's that time. But before we get there, we're going to quickly go over what we need you to do. If you do like this video, please do click the button at the bottom. Give us a thumbs up. Please subscribe to the channel. Doesn't cost you anything. And then you'll be notified when we go live or if we have new videos coming out. At the time of recording, you'll have the Always Smiling Faces podcast back on Monday night with Chris and the boys. And there'll be plenty more coming up through the week. Be another preview ahead of the Fulham game next Saturday as well. Please check out the latest Mark versus Deck Out. It was a doozy where they were talking about play your cards right style, higher or lower goals, wasn't it? Goals scored for certain NUFC players. There was a one previously where they did the A to Z of Newcastle United players. Who have you got for us, boys?
I can't think of one.
You know what it is, right? I even know the answer because I know what you're referring to. As soon as you asked me then, put us on the spot, I was like, Shea Given? Is he one?
I thought Solano first.
Yeah, Solano, yeah, exactly. At speed. But yeah, so please do. And then obviously, if you want to become a member of the channel as well, it comes from as little as £2.99 a month and you'll get early access to videos and you'll also get access to the infamous Telegram group that's going on. Great little social group going on there, see them after games regularly. So you might even get to hang out with some like-minded Newcastle United fans as well. And yeah, let's crack on. And it's time for everybody's favourite feature of the week or of these match previews. And it is Ref Watch. And the referee for the game on Tuesday night is going to be Tony Harrington from Cleveland. And as you rightly pointed out beforehand, Andy, he's a smoggy. So he doesn't really have very far to come to get to St. James's on Tuesday night and be a quick car ride back home as well afterwards, I would imagine. And I've also written down here in my notes that he's not bald. So after Saturday, that doesn't really have any sort of credence to it anymore.
The hard-hitting facts on Gallagher.
That's the most important thing.
He is not bald.
Interesting fact that we find from the little clutch of stats that we have here is it's actually his first Newcastle United game of the season. His last Newcastle United game was the 1-0 victory over Everton at St. James's Park last year.
Mm-hmm.
So there
hopefully
you go.
That's a good omen.
Hopefully so.
In terms of his being bold.
Well, yeah. In terms of his record this season, he's actually only refereed 5 Premier League games this season, so this will be game number 6. In those previous 5, he has issued 19 yellow cards and 1 red. And also looking at slightly deeper into his stats, he's actually only refereed 12 games in total this season, which, considering how busy the season's been up to now, that's quite a low number. He's refereed another 5 games in the Championship and 2 in the League Cup. And on VAR for this one will be Michael Salisbury. So, ref watch complete. Check over. And we move. We move in.
Oh, there's a slogan.
That was great. I love that.
And we move into our predictions. And I'm going to come to Ian first. Mate, how do you think it's going to go?
I think it's going to be an absolute horrible watch for everyone involved. I just think because we're now missing players, obviously I know that they are still a team, they'll train together and stuff like that, but you've seen from losing the cells and how long it took with just to sort of gel, I suppose, the back four. Some of our quality players are still missing. And let's face it, as much as I really dislike Everton, I'm not just saying it because of that, they don't have a lot of quality. They've got some all right players, but I just think it'll be quite a low quality game. It'll be nervy. It'll be scrappy. But that being said, I was saying, obviously before the West Ham game, that I felt that West Ham was probably a must win in terms of if you lost that game, you would have went 7 points behind them, chasing Europe. Albeit with a game in hand. At the moment, you know, a point behind them with a game in hand. That hopefully is a kickstart for a positive run of results. But then we'll have to go and get the entire team injured. So it's momentum. The momentum, I don't think, is going to be is there yet. But I think we'll scrape a 2-1 win. I'm going to go, maybe it's Harvey Barnes again. And I agree with you. I'd like to see Isak score from open play.
Cool. Andy?
Well, I was quite confident before I read that comment from that guy, but now I'm extremely confident that we're going to... I mean, we can't defend and they can't score, so something's got to give, really. I do think we're still not going to keep a clean sheet because it's just against the ethos of the team at the moment to keep clean sheets. So I do think it's not going to be necessarily a cakewalk, but I do think, similar to the West Ham game, even though I know that was a bit mental, I think we will control possession and we will create loads. I think we just need to get ahead nice and early so we're not having to like still be sprinting on 80 minutes and still be stressing on 80 minutes and then people do their ACLs and all sorts. So
you say that though, but what happened against West Ham? We got ahead nice and early and we're still having to sprint around 80 minutes.
Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah. Well, how about a nice 2-0 nice and early rather than 1-0 and then immediately letting them score? What I want to say, I think we're going to be 2-0 up at half time. Mm-hmm. They'll get one back and then we'll score that sort of like one to get the cushion back later on in the game. So I'm going to go for a 3-1 win. I'm going to say Isak hat-trick. Why not?
Ooh.
And he's going to score another penalty. A la Jason Tindall. But yeah, he needs some open play ones as well, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
Even though there's not wrong with scoring penalties. But yeah, that's what I think. And I know we've got statistically, I think from having statistically the hardest run at the start of the season, we've now, I think, got statistically the best run.
Mm-hmm.
So we just need to get ahead of the fixtures a bit and just get some wins on the board so then we're not having must-win games at the end when everyone's on the bones of the backside, if they're not already. Yeah. So, yeah, just get this win, get some ice baths on the go and then move on to the next one, hopefully.
Well, paddling pools and wheelie bins.
Get them back out.
Ironically, when we had that, we didn't have as many injuries.
I know, yeah. Well, I think we need a chiropractor, the number of back injuries we're getting. It's ridiculous.
Well, I actually agree with you, Andy. I think it's going to be a 3-1 win as well. I feel like Sean Dyche is going to try and park a bus and stink the place out. And they're going to be really hard to break down. But, you know, as much as we are depleted, there's something about the spirit that we showed against the West Ham towards the end of that game on Saturday that just makes me think that we can press and put so much pressure on them that we'll be able to break them down. And I think, again, it comes down to the fact that the crowd likes to get on our friend Jordan Pickford's back in these games, especially at St James's. And I think, again, a concerted effort to get under his skin can only be a great advantage to us. And I agree, again, I think Isaac will get on the score sheet. I'd like to think that Harvey Barnes will continue his scoring run as well. I'd like to see him try and break through the lines of that defence of Everton's, which can be quite slow, or because of its age, just kind of keep up with him. Because as we know, Coleman and Young are ancient. I think I'm going to go with an Isaac brace again and a Barnes third. And I'd also like to see us try and take something I noticed actually, I'm talking to somebody today, and we haven't been very brave about taking shots from outside the box, and we weren't against West Ham. And I think if we can maybe just have a couple of those, especially against Jordan Pickford of all people, because all you have to do is aim for a corner, he's not going to reach it. His arms are too little. So we'll see. But I think 3-1, and I think, you know, we now have a chance to really get some momentum going. And yeah, I just mentioned that spirit there. There's character in this group, and when the chips are down, you know, we've been through that rough patch and they've had the experience of that rough patch back at Christmas time. And I think they're stronger for it now, and we're able to pull out these results. And, you know, the place will be, there must be such a good spirit in the squad after the way that they came back on Saturday. And I think, you know, we're going to be able to carry that momentum into this one. I think that's pretty much a good time to wrap it up. Do you think, boys? Anything else to add before we disappear?
All I'm going to say is, just on the back of what you said there about West Ham, just from the fans' point of view as well, we need more of that noise when it's just 0-0. Because I know it's what Premier League home ground's like everywhere now, but when it was rocking at West Ham, it felt like it was back in the sort of the good old days of Eddie Howe, when it felt like we could beat literally everyone. I knew we were going to score all those goals at West Ham. You just sort of felt it in the stadium. Yeah. So if you are in the stands, we need to be giving it more of that when it's 0-0 on 30 minutes, rather than just when the chips are down. I know that's easier said than done. Yeah. But if the people around me in the Leasers could try and join in every now and then, that would be grand, because they do need us. And even when you see Bruno and them like trying to G the fans up, we love it. But part of me also worries that that's them saying, like, come on, we need you to actually give us a kick. And I hope it isn't that, but I do worry sometimes that as these games peter out, you've got players like Bruno who might be having the head turned at the end of the season. I just want to give the fans to give them everything before the end of the season, because once the season ends, we can't do anything else to convince them. So a bit of a plea from me, please.
Well, you mentioned the atmosphere there, and just to very quickly to close, I think Eddie Howe said in a post-match interview with TNT that he felt that the atmosphere at the end of that game was comparable and on a level to the atmosphere that we had against PSG at home, if not slightly better. He even felt it was better at some moment. So, yeah, let's get behind the boys, whether in the stadium, and really make that noise, generate the noise, and we'll see about getting another win on the cards, eh? And I think that's probably a good time to end it. So with Ian and Andy and myself, and I'm sure we'll have Scott back for the next one, but for this match preview, we will wish you all the very best, and we'll see you on the next one. Bye-bye.
Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.